MZTV. Harold, were you watching MZTV again?
No, honey, I swear I was watching porn.
Okay. I thought you were watching that Martin's End of the World's Most Outspoken Bible Scholar.
Of course not, dear.
All right.
How many households in America or around the world does this argument take place? I would like to know. I would like to know. You're going to hear things on today's show that you have never heard before. I think you're going to learn things that you've never known before. So it's going to be a great day for you. It's a great day for me already just by talking to you. But first, I want to mention a great new feature on my YouTube channel. A young man named Christopher Perry from Illinois, although he was going to college in New York studying finances. He was in Manhattan, I think. But he came down to visit me a few months ago. Really zealous guy. You know, maybe 23, 24, 25 years old, I don't know, but he is a great fan of the show, and what he has done for you is amazing. He has taken my material, my 2,600 videos, and he has divided them into topics, into subjects. So, like, if you wanted to know, like, what does Martin have to say about the Trinity? Well, it's one of the 12 subjects, one of the 12 topics. So you go to the playlist. There's going to be a link down here, and you will see playlists. My sister is going to put a link. She's going to put a link down there that says playlists. Okay, now I am going to this list now myself. Okay, here it is. Listen to these categories. Okay, when you hit that link playlist, you'll see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 video categories on top and 6 underneath it. Best of Martin Zender, Christopher Perry calls this. Mainstream Christianity, 43 videos. He did amazing work, really painstaking work. He would just mark down his favorite shows and then he put them in categories. 43 videos. It's hard to pick greatest of. It's hard to pick the best of. So, Christopher Perry, you did an amazing thing. Second category, eternal torment. You don't have to search blindly anymore. You go to Best of Martin Zender, Eternal Torment. There's 26 videos. The best of. These are by far not all the videos I've made on that topic. But the creme de la creme. Best of Martin Zender, Miscellaneous Hits. 70 miscellaneous hits. That's a good number in the scriptures. Best of Martin Zender, Free Will. 46 videos there. Best of Martin Zender, Two Gospels. The two gospel topic, boom. 51 videos. The best of probably hundreds of videos I've done. Christopher Perry has distilled it down to 51 videos. Best of Martin Zender, here we go. Faith, Sin, and Morality. Faith, Sin, and Morality. Now, I've asked Christopher, and I think he's going to do this later on, but he might divide those because we have 48 videos here. He might put faith in a separate category. Sin, I would definitely ask him to put sin in a separate category. Morality, that is behavior. And I think death ought to be a separate category. We're going to work on that, but look at that. And then practical living. Practical living. Being a living letter, how to live your life in the least stressful way possible. 51 videos there. Here's the category, Immortality of the Soul. Yep, 13 videos. Best of Martin Zender, The Trinity. Here's one, Sexuality. Everything I've taught on sex, boom, 22 videos. How about The Snatching Away? 17 videos, the best of the best are there. You can, whenever you want to send your friend something on the Snatching Away, you don't have to just go on this giant search. Christopher Perry has put these videos into categories for you. Isn't this great? It blew my mind when he volunteered to do this. I didn't ask him to do it. These things don't occur to me. But, I mean, I guess I have thought that, but I wish my stuff was more organized. Because I'm not organized. If somebody's going to have to organize my stuff, because I just can't organize anything. But God sent this man, Christopher Perry. Here's the last category, the Acts 28 theory. Woo-hoo! I've been talking a lot about that lately. Going to finish up this week on that for now. 13 videos on that topic. So, mainstream Christianity, eternal torment, miscellaneous hits, free will, the two gospels, faith, sin, and morality, practical living, immortality of the soul, Trinity, sexuality, snatching away, and Acts 28 theory. And pretty soon there's going to be another category on death, and we're probably going to put sin in its own category. But I don't know why I have waited so long. This has been available for a while, but I don't know why I have waited so long to tell you about it, because I got problems. I got procrastination problems. Anyway, Christopher Perry, what a soldier. What a tireless labor. It took many hours to put this together, but this guy is passionate. So, under this video, click the button that says Show More, and you will see a link to playlists. Now, you'll see the other playlists too, the Idle Babbler Illustrated playlist, the MZ/IB, the videos that Rodney Paris and I have been putting together for the past 2 years. There's 142 videos there. You will see MZTV, 1,461 videos. You will see Zender Conference Talks, 48 videos. There's many more conference talks. I don't know where they are. Return to Zender. Those are great videos there. Those are the ones I mainly did in my car. Return to Zender. If you've never known how to access this, this link will be under every show from now on. Maybe my sister Kelly's already had it on there. I don't know. But Return to Zender, that's the series I did before this one, MZTV, 151 videos. And then Secrets in Daniel, 51 videos. Great series. You might not even know that existed. Zender on Revelation, 836 videos. You heard right, 836 videos. I teach on every single verse. I comment upon every single verse in the book of the unveiling of Jesus Christ, otherwise known as Revelation. And then the Crack of Dawn Reports, 58 videos. And there's something here called Zender Specials. I don't even know what that is. 9 videos. So there you go. It's all in playlists. Look for the link below. All right. And thank you, Christopher Perry. He just came out of nowhere. Big fan of the show. Big fan of the work. A true blue believer. Christopher, thank you. And I'm sorry I took so long to get this information to the saints. So you're going to hear some different things today. I'm going to be basically on the same topic, but I'm going to look at some verses in 1 Corinthians 7 that you probably never considered before. Even mainstream Christianity puts Paul's advice in 1 Corinthians 7 as weird. I mean, Clyde goes really to the nth degree on that. The modern expositors say that Paul's advice on marriage, Paul's advice about being single or being married, it was because there was, the King James calls it the present distress. Because of the present distress, 1 Corinthians 7:26. Because of the present distress, we don't want people to get married. It's not good to be married. It's ideal to remain single. And then mainstream Christianity, then, as time goes on, they don't think that a new era has come necessarily. Well, forget what mainstream Christianity thinks, because they don't even know there are two gospels. But Clyde takes this a step further by saying, of course, this was a different administration, a different era. And so this advice is obsolete. But I contend to you, and we're going to go through 1 Corinthians chapter 7, this advice is timeless. It's timeless. Just like Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject to the superior authorities. People think, well, that's not timeless advice. You only have to be subject to the superior authorities, yeah, if they're good or decent. If they turn bad, then you no longer have to be subject to them. No. That would require you to monitor who's in charge, what their record is, who decides whether they're good or bad. They're all bad, really. But it's timeless truth. And 1 Corinthians 7 is timeless truth. And I'm going to give you my interpretation of the present distress. That's the King James Version. The Concordant doesn't say that. The Concordant says the present necessity. What a difference between distress and necessity. What the expositors say is that there was some persecution going on in the ecclesias back then, and they all disagree as to what this particular persecution was. Others say, well, it was the impending tribulation, which Paul thought was near. And after Paul realized that, I thought the snatching away was close, I told everybody it's best to stay single, but now that it looks to me like it's going to be far away, then everybody rush to the chapel. Get to the chapel, get your asses married, get your asses a minivan and a dog and a mortgage. It's game on. We're in it for the long haul. Use the world. Use it up. Are you kidding me? No. 1 Corinthians 7 is timeless advice. And the present distress, what the King James says, Concordance says, the present necessity has nothing to do with having to figure out which persecution. See, I don't like anybody who says that you have to understand extra biblical history in order to interpret the scriptures. Some people insist on that, but there are not many places where you have to know that. The Acts 28:28 position, Paul's prison letters, after he announced the third time to Israel, you know, that Isaiah prophesied concerning you, eyes that don't see, ears that don't hear, blah, 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 blah. It was old news. That was old news. But according to them, Acts 28:28 was a great dividing line. And after that, Paul wrote what we call his prison epistles. But the thing is, scholars disagree about which letters Paul wrote when. In order to really strictly follow the Acts 28:28 theory, you have to know when Paul wrote his letters. But there is no internal evidence as to when Paul wrote his letters, because it's not important. If it was important, as these Acts 28:28 lunatics insist that it is, then it would be mentioned. God would go out of his way to say, okay, well, these letters belong to the present maturity. No, but you know what demarcation, what constitutes a letter that we are to pay attention to? Paul's name. Paul's name certifies that this is our evangel. Paul's name. And he mentions that somewhere. Every letter I write has my name on it. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, he starts all his letters. Paul wrote Hebrews, but you notice something? His name is not on Hebrews, because he wrote this letter to help his brethren according to flesh understand the times, understand why the kingdom did not come, how the eons now have been adjusted to a declaration of God. That's a quote. I'll put the verse down here. The eons have been adjusted to a declaration of God. In other words, there's a new thing that's happened. It's the era of the nations. It's Paul's gospel, and the kingdom has been put on hold. See, Paul was desperately wanted to explain the details of this to his brethren according to flesh, because no one knew more about his gospel and the kingdom gospel than Paul. But if he put his name on it, it would be thrown in the trash as soon as anybody saw it. Who wrote this? Paul? Ugh. Crumple, 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 throw. No. So he wisely did not put his name on it. And that's good. That was wise of God, because we know that's not our letter. But everywhere Paul's name appears, that's our letter. You don't have to know when he wrote what. Extra biblical knowledge. Nope. And you don't need it here, too. I wonder what the present distress was. Well, we do have to wonder what it was, or the concordant present necessity. We do have to know what it was. But in order to understand what it was, you don't have to search history and find out which army was vexing Israel, which Caesar was in power, and what they were doing, what the administration was up to. You know, so many people suppose this, suppose that. I am telling you today, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do it. I wish these shows were 2 hours long. I really do. My equipment can't handle that. No, my recording equipment, come on. Yeah, my other equipment can handle it, no problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. When you realize this is timeless advice, it is very helpful for everyone. Martin, you can't possibly say that verse 1 is timeless advice. Well, let's read it. Let's read it and find out. 1 Corinthians 7:1. Now, concerning what you write to me, and we don't know what was written to him, and we don't need to know. It doesn't matter. It is ideal for a man not to be touching a woman. Period. It is ideal for a man not to be touching a woman. Now, this exhortation or this, exhortation could not have been said in the Garden of Eden. Because then it was ideal for a man to touch a woman, namely Adam to touch, if you catch my drift, his wife. Otherwise, none of us would be here. But now that those people reproduced like rabid rabbits, it's not necessary to populate the earth anymore. We still should. If you want to have kids, of course, yes. But Paul prefers for believers, it's ideal for a man not to be touching a woman. This is true. Because touching a woman leads to many, many blessings. I almost said problems. Many, many blessings. Mm-hmm. So, Paul had a gift. He's going to get to this gift here in a second. Paul had a gift, and he didn't need to touch a woman. So, he didn't. And so, he had all his energy saved up for the evangel. Aren't we glad Paul did not have a wife and kids, a mortgage, and a dog? Can you imagine him going off to his missionary journey, trying to figure out where to board his pooch? I wonder what kind of dog Paul would have had. What do you think? Yeah, what are those dogs that they carry the rum in that barrel under their neck in ski or cold areas? They go to rescue skiers that are lost. What do you call those things? Rum dogs? Oh, I can't think of it. I imagine Paul having kind of a grumpy dog. Paul's not the poodle type. I don't think so. Yeah, he would have had a grumpy dog. I don't think he would have had a Doberman either. I don't see him going to that extreme. Saint Bernard. Yes. That's the perfect dog for Paul, a saint. Paul to the saints. He would have been talking about his dog at the same time. What would his dog been named? You're putting a lot of pressure on me here. Demas. As a joke, because Demas forsook Paul. Demas loved the current aeon and forsook Paul. But Paul's dog would have been loyal, so it would have been a little satire on Paul's part to name his St. Bernard Demas. Demas, loving the current aeon, went to Thessalonica. I think that's where that guy went. Man. So it's ideal for a man not to be touching a woman. Okay, and now Paul is giving a series of concessions. He gives the ideal, and then he gives a series of concessions. Yet, he says, because of prostitutions, let each man have a wife for himself and each woman have her own husband. So, apparently in Corinth or anywhere, it was quite common. You don't have to know this. I happen to know it because I'm the world's most outspoken Bible scholar. I have a vast wealth of knowledge. Corinth was rife with houses of ill repute, namely cult prostitution temples. And the men were very tempted because I'm pretty sure that the women outside advertising themselves were probably pretty good looking. And so the men would be tempted to go to them. Paul said he'd rather have each man have a wife for himself and each woman have her own husband. I don't know who was tempting the women, but anyway, this works both ways. Let the husband render to the wife her due, yet likewise the wife also to her husband. Is that timeless truth for husbands and wives? Or is this just because of the present distress, because of the persecution of Rome? Paul says, oh, because you might have to flee any second, because the authorities might break into your door any second, or the tribulation might start and angels will be flying around saying, hallelujah, hallelujah. You better have lots of sex. It's the only thing going to get you through. Don't deprive each other. But once Paul found out that, I was wrong about snatching away. It's going to be a long time from now. No more sex. Stop it. You don't need it anymore. Why would you need sex if the Romans are not banging on your door? You see how absurd that is? Verse 4, the wife has not the jurisdiction of her own body, but the husband likewise. Okay, that's not... We need to move on past that. Do not deprive one another. I just said that, except sometimes it should be by agreement for a period that you should have leisure for... No, not the woman's period. A period of time. Well, yeah, that too, really. That you should have leisure for prayer, and you may be the same again, lest Satan may be trying you because of your incontinence. See, incontinence. Most people, when it comes to sexual things, are incontinent. That is, they're kind of like... they don't have any control. Somebody who's incontinent in their pants, they can't hold it in and shh. You know, somebody who's incontinent in the sex department, it's not like shh, it's more like ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Same type of sound, just shh versus ch-ch. So, because of that, Paul says, I want you to be married. If you have to. See, if you have to, because in verse 8 he says, now I'm saying to the unmarried and to the widows, it is ideal for them if ever they should be remaining even as I. See, these people who are trying to say that this is obsolete advice, the mainstream Christians are saying it, and Clyde is saying it for a completely different reason, actually a more ridiculous reason. He's telling people to get married if they need to, if they have to. And then here he's saying that he would rather people be single. So which is it? What are you supposed to do when the Romans are knocking at the door? Be married, not be married, have sex, not have sex? I want you to look at this as timeless advice. And this is going to help married couples. It's going to help single people too. Verse 9, if they are not controlling themselves, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to be on fire. Okay, everybody has lots of interpretations. What does it mean to be on fire? Well, of course it means sexual desire. But sexual desire for what? Some people use this verse to prohibit masturbation. If they are not controlling themselves, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to be on fire. In other words, if you have this sexual fire, they got the fire down below, you know, Bob Seger. You've got the fire down below and you need to put it out. You can't masturbate because that's illegal. And as we know, our friend Matthew Holland said it was icky and yucky and nasty and stop it. Of course, there's nothing against it whatsoever. It's a beautiful thing. If God hadn't meant for you to play with the toys, he wouldn't have put them within reach. Okay, anybody who's afraid to masturbate for spiritual reasons is weird. There's nothing against it. Don't want to get into that. I talk about it in my book, The Lie of Every Man's Battle, available now. So much great sexual information in there about Christianity's desire to put men in straitjackets and to make them go against their natures, to notice beautiful women and to play with their toys and to just, it's all there. The Lie of Every Man's Battle. Buy it today. I'm not in it for the money, I swear to you. I want you to have this information. They cost money to make, these books. Okay, so better to marry than to be on fire. If on fire is this general sexual pressure, then yeah, you could say that the only way to get rid of that fire is to be married. And a lot of Christians think this. If you have the sexual pressure, just get rid of it. Just take control of the steering wheel yourself. I had a guy at a conference ask me once. It was a Q&A session. This was in Sacramento. And he says, Martin, my 16-year-old son, he just thinks about sex all the time. He has these urges and desires and What should I tell him to do? And I said from the podium, it's probably on tape somewhere, I said, tell him to masturbate like crazy. Otherwise, you'll do stupid things. You got to get rid of that pressure. You go out with a loaded gun. You remember that movie, Something About Mary? Ben Stiller? Who was Mary? Oh, I can't think of her name. It's not Reese Witherspoon. I just had it. Cameron Diaz. Yes, Cameron Diaz. So Ben Stiller was going to go out with her and his friends giving him advice. You know, did you take a shower? Oh, yeah, of course. Did you got your mouthwash? Yeah. Okay. You got your billfold? Yeah, got my billfold. You got your car keys? Yeah, okay. He goes, clean the pipes and you're ready to go. Ben Stiller, clean the pipes? Yeah, you know. Flog the dolphin. Skin the monkey. All these euphemisms for masturbation. Ben didn't know what the heck he was talking about. His friend told him, dude, you have to relieve the pressure. You go out there with a loaded gun, somebody's going to get hurt. That's funny. Yeah, it's true. So I told this guy, it'd be like somebody asking me at a conference, Martin, you know, my 16-year-old son tells me, and my daughter for that matter, that every day around like 11 o'clock in the morning, they feel this pressure in their bowels, like something is pushing against the rectum, possibly descending from the duodenum. What should I tell them to do? Do I have to tell you what to do? Really? Do I have to tell you what to do about sexual tension? That's safe and not complicated. Going out and impregnating a woman, that's complicated. Major complications. I'm enjoying this show. Look at the time. Unbelievable. I got so many cool revelations for you. You know, the King James for 1 Corinthians 7:29 says time is short. Concordance says the era is limited. What a difference. And yet, Clyde Pilkington quotes the King James Version. The time is short. Paul didn't believe the time was short. That's a whole different thing than the era is limited. And again, 1 Corinthians 7:26, KJV, the present distress. No, It's the present necessity. And I'm going to show you. Going to have to be tomorrow now. I wanted to do this all today. Tomorrow I'm going to show you where this word necessity is used. Also in 1 Corinthians. And when you see it, oh, wow. Oh, and I'm going to give you the Greek word for limited. The era is limited. And when I show you the one other place that Greek word was used, sun stelo, you're going to freak. You're going to say, what? What does that have to do with the era? It is going to be major revelation time for you. But I so much to do here. I got to go to Ephesians chapter 5 and show you how this in no way is Paul encouraging marriage. Because Clyde goes the opposite way. Paul told everybody to stay single in 1 Corinthians 7. Actually, he didn't. No, he says, because of prostitution, let every man have a wife for himself. And Clyde goes to the opposite extreme and says, now in Ephesians, since the Lord's return is way, 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 way off into the future, then, you know, everybody just procreate like rabid rabbits. Get yourself a minivan. Get yourself a house. Get yourself a dog or two. Yeah. I know. But ladies and gentlemen, isn't it a beautiful thing to know that the advice Paul is giving in 1 Corinthians, 30 years or so before he wrote Ephesians, is the same. It's just looking at different aspects of it, like the blind men of Indostan touching different parts of the elephant. There aren't two different animals here. We're looking at the same elephant, just different aspects of it. Oh, I love it when stuff makes sense. And I personally love making sense for a living.